Vedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Nama Charya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sakaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Sham Kumaradha Kumigiri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai Navadip Tham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Ki Jai Ganga Mayi ki jai, Jamana Mayi ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Samaveta Bhakta Brinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Bhagavad Gita as it is, 16th chapter. 3 or 4? Rather, 9 or 10?
Nine.
Sorry. Far enough away that we can't see it. Is this on the board, or do I have the only copy? Do people have books?
We can. We have books.
You have books, okay. And while we're waiting for the books, we can do a cell phone check. All cell phones, silent, silent.
Mobile telephone, cell phones, please, close.
This is 16th chapter, text 9. Etam
Drishtim
Avashtabhya Nashtatmano Apabuddhayaha Prabhavanti Ugrakarmanaha Shayaya Jagato Ahita Etam Drishtim Avashtabhya Nashtatmanopabuddhayah Prabhavantyugrakarmanah Kshayaya Jagato Hitaha Etam Drishtim Avashtabhya Nashtatmanopabuddhayah Prabhavantyugrakarmanah Shayaya Jagato Hitaha Etam Drishtim Avashtabhya Nashtatmanopabuddhayah Prabhavantyugrakarmanah Shayaya Jagato Hitaha Etam drishtim avashtabhya Nashtatmano pabuddhaya Prabhavantyugrakarmana Kshayaya jagato hitaha
Etam drishtim avashtabhya
Nashtatmano pabuddhaya
Prabhavantyugrakarmana
Kshayaya jagato hitaha Etam drishtim avashtabhya Nashtatmano pabuddhaya Etam drishtim avashtabhya
Nashtatmano pabuddhaya Nashtatmano Pabuddhayaha. Prabhavantyuga Karmanaha. Shayaya Jagato Hitaha. Etam.
This.
Drishtim.
Vision.
Avashtabhya.
Accepting.
Nashta, having lost. Atmanaha, themselves. Opabuddhayaha, the less intelligent. Prabhavanti, flourish. Ugrakarmanaha,
engaged in painful activities.
Shayaya, for destruction. Jagataha,
of the world.
Ahitaha,
unbeneficial.
Following such conclusions, the demoniac, who are lost to themselves and who have no intelligence, engage in unbeneficial, horrible works meant to destroy themselves, to destroy the world. Purport. The demoniac are engaged in activities that will lead the world to destruction. The Lord states here that they are less intelligent. The materialists, who have no concept of God, think that they are advanced, but according to Bhagavad Gita, they are unintelligent and devoid of all sense. They try to enjoy this material world to the utmost limit, and therefore always engage in inventing something for sense gratification. Such materialistic inventions are considered to be advancement of human civilization, but the result is that people grow more and more violent and more cruel, cruel to animals and cruel to other human beings. They have no idea how to behave toward one another. Animal killing is very prominent amongst demoniac people. Such people are considered the enemies of the world, because ultimately they will invent or create something which will bring destruction to all. Indirectly, this verse anticipates the invention of nuclear weapons, of which the whole world is today very proud. At any moment, war may take place, and these atomic weapons may create havoc. Such things are created solely for the destruction of the world, and this is indicated here. Due to godlessness, such weapons are invented in human society. They are not meant for the peace and prosperity of the world.
Om Gyanatimilantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tathati Shapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Shahagana Raganatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shavadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakha Vitamascha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpitarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
etam drishtim avashtabhya nashtatmano pabuddhaya prabhavanti ugra karmanaha kshayaya jagato hitaha. Etam drishtim, they have a materialistic outlook. Asatyama pratishtam te jagadahura nishara. There's no God in control. Everything is just going on by nature's own interactions. Everything's unreal. Everything's just a dream. It's whatever you imagine it to be. We make our own reality. Asatyam, apratishtam. There's no ultimate basis to anything. It's all whatever you think. I believe in this, you believe in that. What's what you believe in, whatever it works for you, if it works for me, it works for me. There's no object, no ultimate reality, no absolute. Everything's just up in the air. No acknowledgement that finally there's the Supreme Personality of Godhead who's the owner of everything and the rightful enjoyer of everything. Rather, we own everything. Everything belongs to us, and the smaller the us group gets, the better. If it can all belong to me, that's very good. Otherwise, if I have to share it with a few others, okay. The less I have to share, the better it is. We'll monopolize it for our family, or our state, or our country, or our company, our corporation, our group. At the cost of others. It's all competitive. Let us enjoy at your expense. At the expense of other human beings, at the expense of the land, at the expense of the water, at the expense of the air, at the expense of the animals. Rip up everything for our own enjoyment. Catch some more. Rip up everything for our own enjoyment. It's the purpose of my life here is to get the most out of life. You hear that from people? What's your goal? Oh, I want to get the most out of life. And if getting the most out of life means getting the most out of you, that's fine. And whatever I have to do to get the most out of you, that's good. Whether it's this cheating or that cheating, this violence or that violence, this scheme or that scheme, the end justifies the means. And we're doing it for your benefit. What is that? Operation Enduring Freedom. There's like, according to some estimates, the estimates of in Iraq are that between at the very fewest, 100,000, absolutely rock bottom figure, not realistic, but the minimum 100,000 to someplace over a million people have attained enduring freedom as a result of the Iraq War. That is to say, they're dead. For the benefit of the people of Iraq, of course, because we want them to have democracy and we don't want the women to be exploited, so we can kill 500,000 of them. That will help a lot. But in the name of a better world, world peace, world freedom, world democracy, world something or other, new world order, in the name of something, security, peace and security, whatever it is, we'll do something good for you. Don't worry. The real story is my sense gratification or our sense gratification at your expense. We're protecting the world against terrorism. We're protecting the world against economic collapse. We're protecting the world against this. We're protecting the world against that. Meanwhile, the real story is we're lining our pockets and enjoying sense gratification.
For that we can do anything. For that we can do anything. As long as we can get away with it, we can do it. The extent to which this demonic mentality runs is beyond belief, practically. Appallingly vicious, appallingly well-organized. You know, we have the idea of demonic people as some sort of wild, crazed people, maybe with bandanas and daggers between their teeth and hand grenades in their underwear. My picture of the demonic is a little different. Of course, they can wear bandanas and all of that. They can also wear pinstripe suits from bankers and politicians and lawyers wear. They can be exceedingly cultured, exceedingly sophisticated, exceedingly well-educated, polite, well-spoken, thoughtful, articulate, ambitious. Absolutely. Or they can be nice guys, friendly, and a big warm smile, but totally vicious. Because the goal of life is sense gratification, one way or another. Etam drishtim, this is their vision. Nashtatma. Nashtatma means different things. Can mean one who's whose atma is lost. Atma can mean mind, those who've lost their minds. Atma can mean intelligence, those who've lost their intelligence. As Prabhupada mentions here, alpa buddhi means less intelligent. Nashtatma can mean they've lost their souls. In the Ishopanishad, it said, what is that? Yeke chatma hanojana. What is that verse? Surya nama te loka andhina tamasavrata tangs te pretya vigacchanti yeke chatman hanojana. Entering into the lowest regions of darkness are the atma hanojana, the persons who are killers of the soul. In the Bhagavad Gita, it's said in the second chapter that the soul can't be killed. Najayate Mriyate Va, it never dies. Nahangyate Hangyamane Shivide. Even when the body is killed, the soul is not killed. So how is it that we hear about the killers of the soul? There are persons who are killing their spiritual lives. Atmahanojana, practically killing their spiritual lives. By turning away from Krishna, by identifying with this body. The soul is eternal, the soul is blissful and full of life, but the body is lifeless by nature. It's just matter. It's meant to die. The body must die by nature's arrangement. When we identify with this body, we are identifying with something that's going to die. We're deathless by nature. But we identify with something which is meant for death. Now practically we're killing ourselves. Like if you strap yourself to some bomb that's going to go off, you're killing yourself. Or if we strap ourselves to this body which is meant for death, then practically we're killing ourselves. Or we live in a, a,
away and completely neglects Krishna's instructions. And we pave our way down for Asurya Namate Loka, Antenatamasagrata, the lower planets where there's darkness, where there's no chance for spiritual realization. So again, we kill our. This is the opportunity. The human life is meant for spiritual inquiry. And practically that opportunity is killed by materialistic civilization. Not only for us, but we kill it for others. We raise our children to be nice little materialists and keep their eyes focused on achievement, on career, on education. From India, you know, before the kid's out of the womb, they're worrying about is how to be able to compete in education. Sometimes also they've got some idea that education begins before, you know, that they, while the child's still in the womb, like somebody can be reciting multiplication tables or something to be ahead. Competing intensely, school and then classes, tutoring. And just focus. How to get ahead, not only in India, West also. Extremely important to study so you can get into a good school, so then you can get a good job, you can get a good career, compete with others, make money, get the house that you want, get the lifestyle that you want. And this is your life. Just work hard for sense gratification, train yourself for sense gratification, become qualified for sense gratification, wear the right clothes for sense gratification, drive the right car for sense gratification, buy the house for sense gratification, invest your money for sense gratification, marry the right woman for sense gratification, divorce her for sense gratification. What about sense gratification? They've concluded that the highest goal in life is to satisfy the senses, and there's nothing beyond this. So they're killing their spiritual lives. Because they're fools, less intelligent. And prabhavanti, they flourish. But they flourish in ugra karma, nasty activities. Vicious activities, nasty activities, horrible activities, slaughterhouses and brothels and breweries, war. What goes on in slaughterhouses and the extent, just the numbers involved of animals who are just mistreated viciously and then killed simply for the satisfaction of one little flap of skin, one little flap of muscle and flesh. And even when they come to nice things like grains and vegetables, they're busy with something mischievous. How to get more by pesticides, poison. And if a poison is declared to be poisonous, once something which is a wonder chemical, which is going to increase the yield so much, once it's found to be too poisonous, then it's declared illegal and it's shipped across to the third world for use there. Agriculture, tobacco. Once more tobacco is declared by the health authorities in the West to be cancer causing and so on. And it's known to be these things. We're talking about ugra karma, nasty activities. Here's an example of nasty activities. One cigarette company, tobacco company, got in some sort of litigation in Canada, and by some sort of human error, introduced into evidence one of their marketing documents prepared for them by their marketing firm.
in which it was clearly evident that the company was deliberately targeting children between the ages of like 13 and 16. Maybe you've seen the old advertisements with Joe Camel, the cartoon character, who's found university study to be nearly as well recognized among children as Mickey Mouse. It wasn't just a cute little camel, it was a carefully calculated cartoon character meant to attract a very specific market. Because once you're like 17 or 18 or 19, you've already chosen your brand, so there's no use advertising to you anymore, really. The point is to get to the kid when he's young and first of all convince him he's got to smoke, and second of all convince him he's got to smoke our brand. And if a cartoon will help you, well, that's just brilliant. Because we need to get to him early. Besides, you know, a smoker only has so many years as a customer before he's dead. So we want to get to him early for that reason also. And nobody in this world has more data and has had more data about the medical effects of smoking than the tobacco companies. They have been decades ahead of any health authorities or hospital studies or anything else. They have known exactly what it does to you. And still, they're busy marketing it to children because they make money. This is called Uber karma, nasty. They know what it does to the human lung. They know what it does to the human heart. They know what it does to the human brain. They know what tobacco does to the soil, and they do not care. If it makes money, it's good. There's nobody who knows more about the effects of alcohol than the liquor companies. They know all the nasty things that it does. They know the crime statistics. They know the cirrhosis story. They know the extent to which it's involved in every kind of disease and misfortune. And their job is somehow or other to play down the statistics, to hire firms or doctors to do studies that will call into question the equivocal results of da-da-da-da, so that they can go on selling this stuff. And they'll promote responsible drinking. And use other techniques which we will not describe in a class like this. It becomes too nasty, too nasty. But in summary, psychologists don't just go into the occupation of helping people with their hang-ups. If they really are fortunate, they get into the well-paid area known as motivational psychology, where they can be hired by high-ticket firms to figure out how to stick their hands in your brain and get you to buy. And the techniques are not unsophisticated and they're not pretty. This is Uber karma, nasty activities, vicious activity, simply for someone's sense gratification. Exploit others. Screw others. To hell with others. They're fools anyway. What do they know? Somehow or other, suck them dry. Huh? Or through financial tricks. 29% interest on a credit card. People used to go to jail for that. Usury. And the other kinds of, and we won't even talk about what goes on in these engineered financial enormous scale cheating. Not on the scale of stupid CEO who gets away with something, but on a larger scale than that, organized, systematic, global systems for cheating, where there's just billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars involved. People who become thirsty for that kind of money and that kind of power do anything. or while we're at it, we can talk about wars, where we know the kind of unspeakable sufferings that people endure. And it's not because of a clash of civilizations, because the Muslim world has a different view than the Christian world. That is rubbish. That's meant for popular consumption and bewilderment. It's not because the values of Islam are so diametrically opposed to the values of Christianity, or the values of the East are so much against the values of the West. That's rubbish. It's for sense gratification. It's because you have what we want, and we'll do whatever it takes to get it. We'll engineer anything. We'll pull that kind of deception. We know. If any, this is right out front, apart from darker conspiracies about blowing up buildings in New York and so on. Darker conspiracies about Americans blowing up buildings in New York. Apart from that, you get to things like weapons of mass destruction. You know, we go to war in the Middle East because there's weapons of mass destruction, when we know there are no weapons of mass destruction. Or rather, when we have the weapons of mass destruction. These are just ugra karma. Ugra karma means nasty activities. Kshayaya jagato ahita. Ahita hita means welfare. Lokanam hitakarino tribhuvane manyo sranyaka goshamis, they're described as being engaged in the for the real welfare of the world. Lokanam, for all the people. Hitakarino, working for the actual welfare, spiritual welfare of everyone. These are the Goswamis. Accepting life as beggars. Giving up. They were Chaktva turna mashesha mandala patishvanim sadat tuchjava. Bhutva dina ganesha ko kunumiya ko pina kantasrita. They were big men. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they were not people out of a job and looking to join a monastery. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana, they were like the prime ministers of the government. Very big men. Ashesha Mandala Pati Shranin. They're surrounded by rich, powerful, influential men. When you're in that position, you know, people, anyone who wants his job done, he needs you, and he'll, you know, what does it take? They're exceedingly powerful, wealthy. When Rupa Goswami retired from state service, he had a boatload of gold coins. And now if anybody has any gold, you know, we have a bank full of paper. And not even that, just numbers on a printout. Actual gold, who has it? Everything's made of plastic. Rupa Goswami retired, he had a boatload of gold. And even your bank doesn't have a boatload of gold. It's so wealthy, so powerful. Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami. Chaktva, Turna. They just gave it up. Kantashrita, Gopina Kantashrita. They just dressed like beggars. Sanatana Goswami, when he was on his way to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he met one brother-in-law, I think, who gave him a nice blanket. And when Sanatana Goswami came and met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to see Sanatana Goswami had taken up the life of a mendicant, given up his material opulence. He sort of looked and saw this blanket. A nice, high-quality blanket. Didn't say anything, but Sanatana Goswami could see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had noticed this blanket. So Sanatana Goswami went to the bathing cot where people take their bath, and he, you know, people leave their cloth there and they bathe in the pool. And he saw some fellow there who had a kind of a rag. And
I asked him, would you exchange that for this? The fellow thought, come on, this fellow is joking with me. So Nanda Goswami said, no, please take it, please take it. And then he, Chasanatha Goswami, accepted that very simple cloth. Came back and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw and was very pleased. So Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they were living like beggars. They were actually begging to get their food. Not that they were simply beggars, but they took the role of beggars and were going from house to house. Could you give a little food? Could you give a little food? And they were living so simply and sleeping on the cold floor. Nothing. Why? For the benefit of the world. They were writing books like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Brihad Bhagavatamrita. They were setting an example of devotional service. They were establishing worship of Krishna. They were chanting. They were setting the example of renounced life. Lokanam hitakaram. For the genuine welfare of others. Gave up their own happiness, their own material happiness. For the welfare of others. What is this material happiness anyway? This is nonsense. Let us give it up. What are we losing? If you give up illusion for the sake of the truth, what have you lost? They did it. And the demons, they'll give up the truth for the sake of illusion. And for the sake of their illusion, illusory happiness, they'll kill, they'll steal, they'll rape, they'll cheat, they'll do anything. They'll do anything. Shaya jagatavita. Anything horrible, anything nasty, anything destructive. They're very proud. We've got smart bombs. And it goes right down your chimney and blows up in your house. Oh, that's smart. Very smart. They figure out how to spend half your money on defense, so-called defense. What defense? Now this is the demonic civilization, so-called civilization, uncivilized. Very expert at how to create factories to kill animals. It's not enough just to kill them, but we can kill them, we can create factories to kill them. Concentration camps, really. Concentration camps for human beings, concentration camps for animals. Death camps, that's what they call them, right? Death camps. Death camps for human beings, death camps for animals. And Prabhupada, we're flourishing. We made this much profit this year. We're projecting this much profit for next year. This comes from the demonic nature. There are two natures, divine nature, Vishnu Bhakta Smita Daiva, Asura Stava Karya. Those who are devotees of God, devotees of Krishna, they naturally develop the godly qualities. And Asura Stava Karya, the demons develop all these nasty qualities and therefore do all these vicious things. And therefore we need to spread Krishna consciousness as far as possible. Okay, any questions?
I have a question about this demoniac actually nature. That does, can one change? As being a demoniac, having this demoniac nature, what
can the demonic nature be changed? Only by very good fortune.
sometimes we find that even the person who's involved in nasty demonic activities can be changed. The example is there of Narada Muni and the hunter Nagari. He was happy. He was not killing animals. He was half killing animals. That was sport. When I see the animals, you know, squirming in pain, writhing in pain, I feel happiness. It makes me feel good to watch it. That was his. Yeah, fun to watch. And then he met Narada Muni, and Narada Muni changed him. So much so that he wasn't, later he wouldn't step on an ant. He was, when Narada Muni came, he was jumping this way and that way. Narada Muni said, how come you were jumping when you came to see me? Oh, there were some ants on the path that I didn't want to step on. That's the same man who's half killing animals and enjoying it. So it can be changed by Krishna consciousness. It's stated in Shastra that by chanting Hare Krishna, even once purely, one can be freed from the reactions of more sinful activities than one can commit. So it's possible.
In the morning you have been mentioning about food distribution. I would like to ask you for advice, because you mentioned that basically books, if they are distributed, everything auspicious will come, and it's most powerful preaching. And presently we don't have in our congregation actually any basically book distribution except our shop. Could you give some advice how to again start?
Well, that's sort of a different topic. That's not really part of the Bhagavad Gita class. Somehow or other, do it. Lokanam hitakarim, in real welfare activities, distribute these books, distribute this knowledge. Something else?
Well, here the example of nuclear weapons is given. But the nuclear weapon was invented by Oppenheimer.
Well, not Oppenheimer only. But go ahead. Yeah, simply to know some verses from Bhagavad Gita doesn't make you divine. And I don't want to comment about the particular mentality of Robert Oppenheimer. He was one of, first of all, I never met the gentleman. Second of all, I never really studied his life. Yes, he had read Bhagavad Gita. And he was one of many over there. He wasn't just the lone inventor of atomic weaponry, but yeah, sometimes we see even let's say he was a good guy, even sometimes the good guys get caught up. You know, things get so vicious. I mean, you read about histories of atrocious things done, things that are like unspeakable, things that are unimaginable. And it's the good guys who are, doing it. They're not the guys on top. They're not the engineers, but nice, normal, doctors, healers, people, members of the healing profession who are experimenting on human subjects and making sure that everything is working fine in the death camps and the labor camps. Even people of apparently decent nature and so on, sometimes get caught up in these vicious schemes. Sometimes willingly, sometimes unwillingly, sometimes whatever their weak spot is, they're in need of money or they're afraid of this or they're deliberately threatened. It gets vicious over, at a certain level of things, it gets vicious. Would you rather help us or would you rather have something unfortunate happen to your family? Would you like to make $15,000 more per year? Wouldn't that be better than possibly risking the health of your family? It gets nasty. Goswami is Sanatana Goswami.
What would you advise us? Do we have to choose one of them? Or
yes, you have to choose.
But
you either follow Rupa Goswami or follow the demons.
That means we have to become a mendicant, sir.
Doesn't mean that you have to adopt, renounce life and live like Rupa Goswami. Who can live like Rupa Goswami? And even among the sannyasis, who can follow the standard Rupa Sanatana? But these godly values are described in the beginning. Amanitva, adampitva, himsak, shanti, ardhavam. No, that's a different place. Apayam, sattva, samshudhir, jnana, yoga, vivastati. Jnana, yoga, vivastati, dhanam, dhamastra, yagyascha, svadhyaya, stava, ardhava, ahimsa, satyam, akrodhas. In that way, they're divine qualities. And how do these divine qualities develop? Yas yas ti bhaktir bhagavatya kinshana surayagunais tatra samasate sura. When one becomes a devotee, then naturally all the divine qualities automatically develop. Just like the devotees, they automatically become vegetarian. They completely divorce themselves from animal killing. They automatically give up intoxication, gambling, meat-eating, sexual exploitation. They automatically become kind. They automatically become austere. They automatically become truthful. They automatically become... So many good qualities develop when one takes up Krishna consciousness. So if we want to see these good qualities, then we should cultivate Krishna consciousness and spread Krishna. Asuras tad viparyadu. Arava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna manoratena sati dhavatavi. Without God consciousness, even if you see some superficially good qualities, below it there's this vicious, exploitive nature. Again, a person, perfect gentleman, polite, well-dressed, cultured, refined, and vicious. He knows how to tip the cab driver and open the door for a lady. And he also knows how to pick up the phone and order something vicious that will result in destruction of a city or destruction of people. But he's a gentleman. But Harava Bhaktasya Kutoma. Superficially good qualities. Yes?
Yeah, so, up to a certain level, it's therefore not easy for people in general to recognize what is demonic, and because, the demons can also follow one as a dharma,
demons can look good. But when one is trained in Krishna consciousness, he gets to see that this person is talking about welfare work, and he's talking about upliftment, and he's talking about blah, 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 blah. And he's killing animals. He's addicted to intoxicants, gambling, meat-eating, illicit sex. Where is good qualities? Can see. Devotees can see more clearly. Because he reads Bhagavad Gita and sees Dambho Dhamma Darpo Vimanas Chai Krodham Parushameva Chai Gyanam Vijatasya. Pride, arrogance, false prestige. He sees these things. Familiar with the symptoms from Bhagavad Gita. In Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth canto, it said that the modes of material nature are like flags on a chariot. In the old days, the chariot warriors, they'd have a flag on their chariot, right? The Arjuna had a Hanuman on his flag. Duryodhana had a serpent on his flag. You'd see even in the older, even now, the American flag is there, or the Russian flag is there. So you can see who's, you know, on the tank. There's whoever's flag is there, or at least painted on the tank these days. That's who it is. But the body is something like a tank or a chariot. And there are flags. And the flags are the three modes of nature. You can see this. You can see the sign. He's got a whiskey in his hand. Okay, that's a sign. And so many. He's got a cigarette in his mouth. Okay, that's a sign. We know of a president of one large country who's never seen with a cigarette in his mouth, but he's a chain smoker. That's another sign. There was a book I saw not long ago about the American Revolution. It was talking about one general who, good as a general, but he had problems with sense gratification. And the writer said very astutely, very pithily, said that the commander was not in command of himself. But these are signs. Signs of passion, signs of ignorance, and signs of goodness. And a person who's trained can see, like just the way you see a flag. And, you know, one person who knows is, oh, that's the Greek flag, oh, that's the Israeli flag, oh, that's the Swedish flag. So a person who knows there's only really three, passion, goodness, ignorance, the signs are pretty clear. And one can see right away who's coming. And if you don't see right away, you can see shortly what their qualities are. Something else.
So it said that in Kali Yoga, demonic qualities is inside of all, more or less.
Yeah, it needs a cleaning job.
So even if one becomes a devotee or aspiring devotee, still there can be remaining.
Therefore, the Mahamantra is needed to remove any, wash away any demonic qualities that remain. Yaha Krishna taha maya nahi adhikar. Where is Krishna? I can't say it.
How much you personally believe in Andapangu concept?
How much do I personally believe in?
Andapangu concept.
Andapangu?
Yeah.
The philosophy of the blind man and the lame man? How much do I personally believe in it? Yeah, sure. Take the man who has knowledge but no money, and the man who has money but no knowledge, and put them together and they can do something good.
I'm talking about East and West.
Well, generally the East has knowledge but less money, and the West has more money and less knowledge. Put them together and they can do something good. But they actually have to cooperate. It's not, Prabhupada, of course, proposed that as a very good model. But people may not be taking up, you know, they have another idea that the man who can see, but who can't walk, can put out his eyes and get an operation on his legs. And that way he advances. In other words, that India can imitate the West, that they can sacrifice their knowledge in exchange for economic prosperity. And then they become blind. You go to Bangalore or Chennai and you see generation of young, prosperous IT workers with whiskey glasses in their hand and the latest Western suits and going to the clubs and enjoying a life of degradation and foolishness. So they've exchanged they've got knowledge, they've got intelligence, but maya pritagana, their knowledge and intelligence are stolen. you know, we'll give you money. All you have to do is sacrifice your higher purpose in life. Yes, good. So in that way, become this Western way of life, or life of prosperity for sense gratification, is corrosive. And kalo sattvahara pumsam. The Kali Yuga is described as sattvahara, taking away the good qualities. And Prabhupada uses the word, what is the word? Deteriorates the good qualities. It's corrosive. Corrosive. Doesn't just take away your good qualities, it corrodes them slowly. And finally, you're like a building where the columns are corroded, it finally collapses. Not because somebody knocked down the columns, but because they're corroding. So the materialistic demons introduce corrosive values into the world or promote a corrosive way of life, so that higher values are corroded in favor of whatever satisfies my senses.
Mm-hmm. But if they were smart, wouldn't they invest more in the mode of goodness, because then they would enjoy better and longer?
Alpabuddhaya, they're not smart. They're fools. What is that? Asat grahat. Asat graha grihi basa graha pravartate shuchivrita. Asat grihit vaita graha, grasping that which has no substance. Asat means that which doesn't exist, or that which is falls through your fingers and you're just temporary. That's what they're grasping on. Sense gratification, which can't last, which is based on this body, which deteriorates and becomes a pile of trash, it becomes ashes, it becomes stool, it becomes earth. They're madly grasping for happiness, which doesn't in a place where happiness doesn't exist. And therefore, they're frustrated. We see that they're wealthy and they're drunkards. And they wake up in the morning. And the first thing in the morning is wake up and have a shot of bourbon or something. Call their psychiatrist because they're miserable, in spite of having so much money, in spite of madly grasping for happiness. Big, big men, and just addicted to, simple thing. Big, big congressmen, and they're addicted to some prostitute, not even a high class prostitute, some, barn dancer. Why? They've got so much power, they've got so much prestige, they've got money, but their senses are never satisfied. Tripyanti neha kripana bahudu kapaja. The nature of the materialistic way of life is that they're never satisfied. That's described also about the passion is unquenchable. Because they're grasping for a happiness that just isn't there. So they're not intelligent. They're twisted. They're twisted. And they can't be intelligent because they're locked into their demonic ideas of what's going to create happiness. Power will make us happy. Wealth will make us happy. Control will make us happy. Our schemes will make us happy. I've made so much now by my schemes, and I will make more. These people are our enemies, and we've killed them, and we'll kill the other ones also. We'll rearrange the world in such a way that we'll be able to make patience. And we'll fool those stupid jerks. You know, just pay some money. Hire the best people in the industry. We'll tell them it was this. We'll tell them it was that. We'll make them think it's this. We'll marginalize those foolish critics. We'll get them to think that it will all fall apart unless they do this. We'll make them think their life depends on whatever it is we want to sell. And it's smart. It worked. Wow, it worked.
Like you said, it seems as if others get to pay the price. Is that so?
Others get to pay. It's at the expense of the innocent people.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of hard to believe that, you know, all these poor innocent animals and so, do they really deserve? I mean,
well, according to their karma, that's the nature of the material world, that everyone's suffering the results of their own previous activities. So our innocence is something of a fiction. From that point of view,
couldn't it be that it's not necessarily one's own activities, but
it is.
It is.
Sorry. Yeah, when we suffer, in one sense, the demons are creating suffering for others. Those others have also, they were the demons last time around. Like musical chairs, we all switch places. So this time I slit your throat in the neck, that, you know, because I'm one of those brutal dictators. And the next time you become the brutal dictator and slit my throat. So we change places. One time I'm the Black Widow spider, the next time you're the Black Widow spider. So it's not a nice place, the material world. Not a nice place. Therefore, Krishna consciousness means getting out of this material.
But if one really regrets, you know, one understands or realizes that one has done a mistake and one really regrets it, does one still have to pay for it? Or is there...
One gets freed from... By regret, one becomes purified. Trouble is they regret and then they do it again. They do something nasty and it was so regrettable, you know, but then again.
But then one doesn't understand.
It means that regret was superficial. They sincerely regret, you know, I didn't intend to kill this guy. I didn't mean to do this. I didn't understand and but it's all a byproduct of their addiction to sense gratification. So they regret. But it doesn't mean that they're going to turn around. And, because there's no deep purification. You know, so I just needed money. I didn't mean to kill the grocery store guy. I didn't, you know, he just walked in. I wasn't expecting him to be there. I'm really sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't want that to happen. I never wanted that to happen. But because he's addicted to drugs, he goes out and, you know, the next time it's the gas station guy instead of the grocery store guy. And he didn't mean to do that either, and you know, it just happened. Because the regret is superficial. It's like cutting down a weed. You cut it down and it grows up again. You cut it down and it grows up again. You know, I regret that I beat my wife. I was drunk. I didn't mean to do it. I love my wife. But then, you know, 2 weeks later, he's on a binge again, and he's, you know, slapping her against the wall. Because the heart is not purified. When one becomes Krishna conscious, it's like uprooting the plant. When you uproot the plant, it doesn't grow back. Or when you take the seeds of the plant and fry them, they're not going to sprout. And that's the effect of actual purification, Krishna consciousness. Then one gets free from all.
Can one resist purification?
Resist purification? Sure, you can resist it. Sankirtan party comes down the street, and you cross the street and go the other way. Excuse me?
While being a member of Sankirtan Party, can one still resist even while practicing?
You can, sure. You can commit 10 offenses while engaged in chanting. You can resist. There's a, what is it? You know, part of us that doesn't want to be purified. We want to be purified, but we don't want to sacrifice whatever it is. We're attached to the rules. It's famous that, who was it?
Augustine.
Yes, thank you, St. Augustine. That, O Lord, give me chastity, but not yet.
Yeah. Leftovers inside.
Yeah.
And what does this integrity depend on? And
good question. What when there's a test of our integrity, what enables us to pass it? What does it depend on? Purification of self, bhava-samshuddhi, dedication to Krishna, firm conviction. Krishna's mercy. Haridas Thakur. You can beat me and cut me up into little pieces, but I won't give up chanting the whole thing. Therefore we're worshiping Haridas Thakur. Logana Vidikara. Manyo Sharanyaka, Goswami is worthy of giving shelter to the whole world. Nirmatsilo Pujita. They're not envious of anyone, so to worship them. It's easy to talk about, but when the forces are up against us, you know, there's a choice which way do we go. It takes serious commitment, serious practice, serious determination. Mm-hmm. Yes.
How would you define pure love?
Pure love. Pure love means without any expectation of return. No material motive. That we find in Krishna Lila. Now the Vrajavasi is without any consideration of this. Excuse me?
If somebody gives you responsibility, like how to subdue the demons.
How to subdue the demons? You mean if you're in a position of responsibility where you can subdue the demons? Or you mean internally? You mean clubbing down the demons, really?
Whatever way you want to subdue the demons.
Yes. Of course, we're subduing the demons by Harinam. Our main purpose is, what is that? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's Parachanaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Traduskadam. Krishna comes and subdues the demons. But in Kali Yuga, he does it by Sangopangastra Parshadam. Through his Sankirtan associates and his own personal beauty, he subdues the demonic qualities of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga Pada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Well, that's one thing. Just by spreading Sankirtan, by distributing these books, we make serious inroads against Maya. We give a serious blow to to the demonic civilization by distributing this literature, by distributing Harinam. Yes. And if Krishna conscious persons are given government responsibility, then they can close the slaughterhouses. They can take serious steps to, of course, the real serious step, to spread Sankirtan everywhere. That will have automatically, as people become Krishna conscious, we don't want these slaughterhouses, we don't want these breweries, we don't want these brothels, we don't want these things. We want Krishna consciousness. But positively, the government also, or negatively, the government should be strong. Where these principles of degradation are there, government should be strong. Maybe you could turn off your, maybe you could do us the favor of turning off your phone. We're not against destruction. Destroy the demonic propensities. Destroy
and
demonic way of life. That's good.
My question is, how much do we need to take care or fear the demons?
You don't need to fear them. We depend on Krishna. Abhayam satvasham suti. Fearlessness. But one should be respectful in the sense of, you know, like the way you respect a cobra. You are aware that it has fangs and that it's poisonous and that it can strike very quickly and be lethal. So we're not afraid. If I die, I die. It doesn't mean we go playing with cobras. Or, yes, a person who's, one has to know what these people are and what they can do. We can tell a lot of lurid stories about things that demonic people do as retaliation or just as in the interest of self-protection. They play dirty. They do. But nane bhakti pranashati. Devotees always protect the vanquished. And bye-bye. But the demons are powerful. Devotees cultivate fearlessness. We know that we're challenging a demonic civilization. We may well do it.
Is it true that we are influencing each other by our consciousness, that we make it influenced also just by demonic consciousness?
If you associate with the demons, you'll be influenced. Therefore, we avoid demonic association.
And even not directly associating, just by existing in a demonic society.
Well, existing doesn't contaminate anyone, but when you exist and interact with it. You know, therefore, television. How many demons are you inviting into your home when you buy a new television? You know, with a 10 million inch screen. And not only, you know, like stupid demons, but demons who are exceedingly capable and paid large sums of money to influence you. If you think about, you know, what a 30-second commercial costs, you know, how much does it cost you to buy 30 seconds of television time? And therefore, how many units of whatever it is do you have to sell? And it's not like if you're investing $10,000, you have to sell $10,000 worth of perfume. You have to sell like maybe $300,000 worth of perfume because your advertising budget is only, you know, 3% or 10% or whatever it is. So to justify the money you spend, you have to sell this many units. Now you're just going to put your name up there and hope people buy? No, you're going to hire the best psychologists you can find, the best people in motivational psychology. And it's not going to be about, you know, that the bottle is stronger, or, you know, it's all going to be about you could be this, you could get that. It's going to be about sex and death. It's going to be about all sorts of perverted things. And I mean, we wouldn't want to talk about the capabilities these people have discovered in motivational psychology. It gets too filthy. And it's deliberately made out to look silly, dumb, kind of goofy, but, you know, that's on the surface. Underneath it there, you know, it's the most sophisticated thing in the world. It's not just, you know, some stupid thing. They don't hire people to build 30 seconds of stupidity on television. They can't waste money that. It's stupid, it's been made to look stupid. Because something else is going on. And we're naive. You know, we have a new television. Or we're devotees, we can watch, you know, Krishna videos or something. But all sorts of other things can happen too. Television by itself can be exceedingly corrosive. Just television. Yeah, just television. That nice little television box. The difference between having a television and not having a television is enormous. Just that one thing, you know, if you want to improve your life, you want to, you know, gain back an enormous amount of your time, you want to feel better, you want to be better informed about what's going on in the world, because the less they broadcast, and the less you see their broadcasts, the less confused you are, the less misled you are. The person who knows nothing is better off than the person who's full of mistaken ideas. So you're better informed without your television, you have more time without your television, you interact again, you have a family again. You know, the people who for 2 hours were sitting there going... Now they talk to one another because they don't have a television. Take the same people who didn't have time to read because they're too busy, and now they have all the time in the world. Just that one little amenity. If you really want to have fun, you really want enjoyment, take your television, bring it up to the second story, throw it over the rail, and enjoy the sound of it crashing on the sidewalk. Great personal victory. Mm-hmm.
How to explain that sales enjoyment is demoniac? For owner,
sense enjoyment is not demoniac. It's sense enjoyment is all right. We have senses, certain amount of enjoyment is there. But they want to push it.
they want more. The amount of sense enjoyment assigned to me, my little quota of sense enjoyment, is not enough. So then I got to do something more. I got to smoke this, snort that, inject this, do all sorts of things to myself or to others, because it's not enough. I could have more. Just, you know, cut the boundaries, forget the rules. You can have more. So much more. I don't want to tell you. If you're willing to do anything, so much more. So it's not sense enjoyment. Sense enjoyment, we're chanting Hare Krishna, our senses are happy. We're eating Krishna prasadam, our senses are happy. We're not killing animals to do it. We don't have to, you know, victimize people to chant Hare Krishna. Take Krishna prasadam to read Bhagavad Gita. But if you want more than your quota, then you have to be ready to do vicious things. And they're so ready. Ready and eager. Sense enjoyment by itself is not bad. But it's this overclocking. It's this, you know, it's just got to be more. It's just not enough. It's just not enough. I've got to have more. So many, we could give so many examples, so many that, you know, why pollute our minds with it. Gambling, intoxication, meat eating, illicit sex. These are the four categories of the more that we want. Therefore, Prithvi Maharaj drove Kali out. He made his kingdom. You're asking, you know, what do we do? There's devotees are in power. They have positions of influence. These four things get driven out. No gambling, no intoxication, no media, no illicit sex. And the demons, this is what they do, you know, they'll give them a chance, they'll just like in India, you know, any like nice place, the seashore, a mountain, the lakeside, they build a temple. You go to, India is like just dotted with places where if the place is nice, there's a temple there. Kanyakumari, the very tip of the Cape, there's a temple. The mountain, the top of a mountain, the top of a hill, the side of a Pushkar, there'll be a temple. Puri, there'll be a temple. Dwarka, there'll be a temple. Benares, there'll be a temple. So many places, there'll be temples. And the demons, give them a chance. Casinos, hotels, bars. Beautiful place. We could build a casino here. Gambling, prostitution, everything. Prabhavanti, and they'll flourish with uber karma, nasty activities. Everyone knows, as soon as you build a casino there, the place becomes like crime loca. This becomes the place where the criminality just takes over, where there's no safety anymore, where everything becomes corrupt and rotten. But they sell it, you know. You know, it'll be a new source of revenue for the state. The state winds up, you know, three times less because now they have to quintuple their police force and it's still not enough. And, you know, everything just becomes... But that's their idea of prosperity. Bars, hotels, casinos... As soon as there's a nice place, we could build a hotel here.
And hotel doesn't just mean nice rooms with nice views, it means all these other things. So, it's been a pleasant evening. Yeah, we're okay. If you'd like to follow this up with some pleasant reading matter, you can go to my website. There's an article on 9/11 and the divine and demonic natures. We've just passed the anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist incident. And you can go there. There's some reading material relevant to this chapter. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it must be according to Krishna's plan. I mean,
yeah, the material Kali Yuga is Krishna's plan also. But if it's Krishna's plan that there's going to be blizzards and earthquakes, it doesn't mean you have to go out and freeze in the snow. It's Krishna's plan. It's the government's plan that the prisoners are going to be miserable. Doesn't mean you have to make a plan to stay in prison. Our plan should be to get out. Okay. Shall we stop here? Yes. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Samadeta bhakta brinda ki jai. Gaur brinda ki jai.